From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week.
Around 20 people came to the county courthouse in Grand Marais on a stormy, snowy evening earlier this month to talk about biomass energy. The December 9th meeting was organized by the Cook County Local Energy Project, or CCLEP, a local citizens group advocating sustainable energy development in the county. The group has obtained funding to study the pros and cons of burning wood from local forests to generate energy. George Wilkes is co-chair of CCLEP. He and members of his group think it's time to get away from our dependency on fossil fuels.
The reason we think bioenergy is a fit here, or a good fit here, is because we have lots of trees and it's very cold. We also think we have quite a bit of underutilized biomass available in the county. The best example of that is the biomass that's cleared for fire mitigation activities. That biomass is currently, a lot of it is hauled to gravel pits around the county, accumulated, and then burned. Biomass energy would be turning those trees and brush either into heat, electricity, or heat and electricity, or even in some cases you can turn it into fuel. To some extent, we will investigate all of these, but we believe that heat alone and heat and power are the two technologies and processes that would apply best here in Cook County.
While there's general agreement that Cook County has plenty of surplus wood available, there are a lot of unanswered questions about the implications of removing it from the forest and burning it. George Wilkes.
We need to look at how the harvest will affect forest ecology, air pollution, ash disposal. How are we going to make this work economically? And that's part of why we're here tonight, to give the public a chance to weigh in on this and express your concerns.
Several audience members did have concerns, including Jeff Kern of Grand Marais.
I want to be sure that when we talk about forestry inputs, forestry management, that we're not simply talking about how to produce more from the forest. We're talking about the forest as an ecosystem that's a functioning ecosystem, and that we maintain the processes that make the functioning ecosystem function over the long haul. I want to make sure that's not missed.
Local loggers Kevin and Brian Berglund wonder if there will be enough demand for biomass to make it profitable and worth their while.
It's great burning wood, but yeah, who's going to bring it all? It's not free wood. It can't be free wood. If they were thinking cheap, I'm not going to go just because I got the wood and bring it here, bring it to them. So if it's big enough, then it's worthwhile. But if it's a small operation, it's not worth maybe one or two buildings is all it's benefiting. I got a wood stove that will do that.
Howard Hedstrom of Hedstrom Lumber agrees on the importance of scale.
You know, it has to be big enough to incent somebody to put the investment in to do it. So there'll be a lot of study around that and how to really make that work.
The Cook County Board of Commissioners supports CCLEP's efforts and voted in October to contribute $113,500 from the county's Timber Management Fund towards the study. For more information about the Cook County Biomass Feasibility Study, or to submit questions, comments, or suggestions, visit the project website at dovetailinc.org. More information is also available on the CCLEP website at cookcountylep.org.
High-speed internet connection just got cheaper if the Cook County Fiber Optic Network Commission has its way. The up to $400 customer premises wiring and equipment cost could be absorbed by $1.82 million of 1% sales tax money. The proposal was brought to the fiber optic meeting Monday morning by Joe Buttweiler of Arrowhead Electric Co-op. Buttweiler said the $400 in-home hookup could be a cost barrier for some customers who want high-speed service. Arrowhead's federal grant provides for free drop service to the home, but does not cover any costs incurred for on-the-premises infrastructure. On a motion made by Commission member Howard Hedstrom, the members voted to bring the county board a request that money be set aside from the 1% sales tax collection. The money would be used to reimburse up to $400 any internet provider a customer chooses that brings the service free of charge to their premises. The request will be refined by the commission and is expected to go to the county board the end of January or in early February.
Ever since EDA Director Matt Gerritschlager said this summer that he was going to resign, the question of who will lead the troubled Economic Development Agency has been up in the air. Gerritschlager's been working part-time since May of 2009 because of EDA budget shortfalls, and in July said he couldn't afford to continue at half pay and would be stepping down at the end of the year. But Gerritschlager never actually submitted a written resignation, and the EDA board didn't revisit the issue until this month because of uncertainty about the 2011 budget. Don Davison is on the EDA board.
Without knowing what the county was going to do with our budget, whether it was going to be increased or stayed the same, we didn't know what his employment status would be, whether we could even keep him on. I mean, there were some threats out there to cut the budget, keep it the same, but we didn't even know if we could afford him part-time, and he had put in his resignation. We couldn't even advertise for anybody because we didn't know if we had the funding for it.
The county has agreed to fund the EDA at about the same level as last year. This means that unless the EDA comes up with additional funding itself, county levy dollars will only cover a half-time director at $27,500 a year plus benefits. In light of this information, the EDA board asked Gerritschlager during its Tuesday, December 14th meeting if he still plans to resign. He said that while he still can't afford to work part-time, he now wants to remain on the job. EDA board chair Mike Litvin made a motion to keep Gerritschlager on in 2011 at half salary and benefits. The vote was split 3-3 and failed to pass. Voting to keep Gerritschlager on as director were board members Mike Litvin, Hal Greenwood, and Mark Sanbo. Voting no was Jim Hall, Don Davison, and Bruce Martinson. EDA board member Jan Sievertson was absent. After the motion failed to pass, Gerritschlager appealed to the board for a 6-month extension, saying he had unfinished business to attend to and wanted things to work out, quote, in the worst way, unquote. The board compromised, agreeing to keep him on an additional 3 months until March 31st, when they would take another look at the EDA's finances and reconsider his employment. According to Gerritschlager's contract, either party can terminate employment with 30 days' notice. Likewise, the director's hours could be restored to full-time if funds become available and the board agrees. In other words, nothing is set in stone, and until at least March 31st of 2011, Gerritschlager will continue as EDA director. The EDA's next regular meeting is scheduled for 3 p.m. Tuesday, January 11th at City Hall in Grand Marais.
For those still suffering from next year's tax sticker shock, Cook County commissioners moved to reduce the pain in 2011. At Tuesday's board meeting, the first budget action was to set aside the balance from the original 1% hospital sales tax for use by Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center. Hospital Administrator Kimber Ralstead told commissioners the remaining $376,000 from the original sales tax would be used for needed capital expenditures. Allowing the hospital to keep the funds would in turn mean the 2011 hospital levy could be reduced from $1.2 million to $800,000. Legally, once all the obligations for use of the hospital sales tax had been met, the remaining balance would go to the county's general fund. Commissioners agreed to hold the balance in reserve contingent upon the hospital board lowering their levy to $800,000. Funds will be released upon receipt of invoices for actual hospital expenditures. Auditor Treasurer Brady Powers said they will have the confirmation of the hospital levy change by year's end.
Well, I guess we'll know. They'll have a subsequent meeting. I think they're going to have a meeting on Thursday. We'll probably hear a report. But in any case, they have a deadline, as do all taxing entities. We have to certify our final property tax levy, and it has to be done to the county auditor, and it's usually 5 business days after December 20th. So we'll get that certification in any case.
In a second tax-reducing move, commissioners agreed to approve a suggestion made at their Truth in Taxation hearing from Commissioner Bruce Martinson. The board approved a 0% increase over last year's levy. They will use money from their fund balance and federal BWCAW payments to keep the 2011 levy at 2010 levels. Commissioners agreed that even though these two adjustments to the 2011 tax bill will help property owners, they will still see their taxes increase due to the remaining hospital levy, as well as the school levy approved at the November election. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.